Right, this morning I would like to share with you on the topic of salt. It is a very common condiment. We use salt in our everyday life, but maybe most of the time we never give a second thought about what's the meaning, what has it got to do with Christianity and so on. The very interesting thing about salt is that the Bible mentions salt many times, but there was no mention of sugar in the Bible. Okay? Sweet things are compared to honey, not to sugar. Okay? Jesus said that ye are the salt of the earth. Okay? And he furthermore, he said, salt is good. Okay? Well, of course, too much salt is bad for our health. Okay? Our body needs salt because of the mineral traces in salt that will nourish our body and keep our body healthy. Okay? So we look into the Word of God to see the meaning of salt as a Christian. Okay? The passage that we have read this morning, Jesus said, and use the word salt in different contexts. Okay. In Matthew 13, we are the salt of the earth. Okay. We are the preserver, the sustainer, the flavor enhancing, all these things. Okay. But in Mark chapter 9, okay, Jesus said, salt is good. Just not talking about discipleship, no. And he says that every sacrifice has to be salted. Okay? And everything will be salted with fire. Okay? He was talking about purification. Okay? And the last verse of Mark chapter 9:50, salt is good. Okay? But if the salt has lost its flavor, saltiness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourself. He was talking to the disciples, have salt in yourself, meaning have peace. He says have peace one with another. Why? Because previously, in the earlier verses, the disciples were actually arguing who was going to be the greatest in heaven. And John and James' mother actually came to Jesus. And she begged Jesus for a favor. And Jesus said, what is it that you want? Okay. She said, I want you to make my two sons, one to sit on your right hand, the other to sit on your left hand. Okay. Places of prominence. And Jesus told her, it's not me to give that positions to your sons. It is up to God. Anyway, no one can actually sit on Jesus' left hand because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. Okay. Nobody can take that place away from him. He has that honor. So Jesus says, in the world, people look for positions. But in the kingdom of God, that is not so. Okay. The greatest must be the servant of all. You want to be the greatest in heaven, you have to be the lowliest on earth. You have to serve. Okay. You mustn't think of position. Okay. I'm the pastor. I'm the head of the church. Okay. So all of you must serve me. That's not what Jesus wants from his servants. His servant should serve because he says he has set an example himself that he came not to be served, but to serve. And we see his whole life is a life of service. Okay. He went out to the people. Okay. He bent down and washed his disciples' feet. And he told them, okay, I have set you an example. that you should follow in my step. I being your master am willing to lower myself to become a servant, your servant, to wash your feet, and you ought to wash one another's feet. Are we willing to serve others in our capacity as a child of God, whether we are a Sunday school teacher, whether we are the superintendent of the Sunday school, or whether we are a deacon, an elder, a pastor? Okay. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, are we a servant of God? Okay. Are we salt? Jesus said, ye are the salt. You who follow him, you are the salt. So what does it mean by to be a salt? In Matthew 13, after the Beatitudes, yeah, all the blessings, then he came to verse 13 and said, you are the salt of the earth. Okay. Salt is to preserve, to sustain, and bring out the goodness in us. Okay. We are no good, actually. The Bible says we are no good. None is good. Remember the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, good master? And Jesus said, no one is good, only God is good. Okay. If you say that I am good, that means you are saying that I am God. Okay. There is none good, the Bible tells us. No one is good here. Everybody is bad. We are made good because we came to Jesus. And he took away all the bad things out of our life. We became a new creation when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. We become good in the eyes of God. And we become salt. So we preserve, we sustain people. And we must be the flavor enhancer of difficult people. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We should not be the one that caused trouble to people. We must be those who make peace. Can we bring peace to people who are maybe at war with one another? Sometimes people just hate one another for no reason. In the world, there are people who simply just don't like you. No matter what you do, even though you do good to them, they still find fault with you. They always find something to criticize you. Okay. I'm very sure you meet people like that in your life. Okay. And sometimes you get so frustrated, you turn to the person and say, why are you so bad to me? I've done nothing bad to you. I've always done good to you. Why do you hate me so much? Why do you dislike me so much? Maybe the person says, I just can't explain, you know. There's something that I just simply don't like in you. There are people like that in this world. Do we encounter people? And when we encounter such people, how's our reaction towards them? Okay, you don't like me, I don't like you. You know? No. Even though people don't like us, we still have to love them. The Lord says, love your enemies, not love your friends. Friends are easy to love, right? Enemies are difficult. Okay? We don't love our enemies, but the Lord wants us to love them. Okay? So we have to be an enhancer among difficult people. Okay? And to help people to see how God works in our life. Your life must be a light to people around you. That's why the Lord said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works. People can see, you know. Don't tell people I'm a Christian. Show them that you are a Christian. It's easy to say, to tell people I'm a Christian, I go to church, I have a Christian name and so on, I pray. Okay. Show them. Action speaks louder than words. Okay. There are lots of people who claim that they are Christians, but they never go to church, they never pray, They never do good things. They're only in name. And the Lord will say one day to them, I never knew you. And these people will say, Lord, we do things in your name. Maybe we preach, we go to church, maybe we teach Sunday school and so on. The Lord say, I never knew you. You don't have my authority. Does the Lord know us? We may know the Lord, but does He know us? That's the most important question. Because if you want to know, if you want to go to heaven, He has to know you. Your name has to be in the book of life. Don't let God blot out that name. Don't let your life be a wasted life. That you have not done anything for God, for His name. Then we can share good news to people and direct them to God. In biblical times, salt was very expensive and highly valued commodity. So much so that Roman soldiers, some of them sometimes would pay in salt. Today, I don't think you want to receive salt as your salary, right? Today, salt is very cheap. In the olden days, it was very, very expensive and very valuable. The Roman soldiers actually were paid their allowance, which is called salarium. It's a Latin word. Sal means salt. And the word salarium, actually, we get our English word salary from there. Salary. A Roman pound of salt is about 330 grams. I think like a jar of maybe Nescafe, 200 grams kind, 300 grams kind. And it's about 1/20 of a foot soldier's daily pay. 1/20, 1 pound of salt. Roman pound. And God actually make covenants of salt. There are three times that is mentioned in the Old Testament. Leviticus 2:13, Numbers 18:19, and then 2 Chronicles 13:5. A covenant of salt. What is a covenant? In the Bible, a covenant is when two parties make a covenant. They are actually joined together and identified with each other. So when God makes a covenant with David, He identifies Himself with David. He established the Davidic dynasty. He promised David that there will always be a king on the throne. And one day, the greatest son of David will sit on the throne. And there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't come back yet. When He returns, He will sit upon the throne of David and He will judge all nations. Every nation will come before Him and He will be the righteous judge. There will be no one that can bribe Him. Today, people can bribe judges, but not when Jesus comes back as a rightful judge. And He will rightfully judge all nations. His judgments will be fair. Nobody can complain and say that it is too harsh. You are too strict with me. You don't love me. No. No one could say that. So, God made the covenant of salt with Israel. And He told them that when you come and bring sacrifices to me, all your sacrifices must be salted with salt. Maybe you think God doesn't like sweet things. He likes salty stuff. Why He never mentioned about salting with sugar, coated with sugar? We don't know. That's God's prerogative. Salt actually prevents things from being decayed. It's a preserver. Salt does many things that sugar can't do. Sugar actually makes things decay, but not salt. You put a loaf with sugar and you leave it maybe on your cupboard, on the table. After a few days, maybe it grows moldy. If you salt that loaf with salt and you leave it on the counter, that loaf will not get moldy, because salt prevents mold from growing on the bread. Okay. So if you are the salt of the earth, okay, that means actually it should be nothing bad should be in your life. You should not have evil thoughts about people. You should not think about taking revenge on those who have hurt you, have done you wrong. You will have a big heart to forgive. You know? That's why the Lord told his disciples, if your brother comes to you and say, I have wronged, please forgive me. You forgive him. And Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive him? Until 7 times, which is a lot. You know, as parents, we always tell our children, don't do that again, right? Sometimes when they do wrong things, we say, don't do that again. Then they did the same thing. And then we tell them, don't do it again. Then they still do that again. You know, the third time, actually, you explode, right? And you yell at them and say, how many times have I told you not to do that again, and you do that again? Are you trying to drive me crazy, and so on? The Lord knows our limitation. The Lord says, no, Peter, not 7 times. He says, until 70 times, 7 times. That's 490 times, you know. We don't count that many times when we forgive people, right? Okay, forgive you once, forgive you twice, forgive you third time, fourth time, and so on. We don't take account of our forgiveness. But God does. He forgives every sin of ours. And all the time that when we sin, we go back to Him, He forgives us. And how many times have we sinned against God? Countless, countless. And yet God lives up to His word. He forgives. He will not say, okay, I will not forgive you this time, because you have gone over the limit of my forgiveness. God's forgiveness is limitless. And so must ours. Forgive. Be the salt. Be the kind of people that people love to be with. If you are a child of God, you treat people nicely, people always like to be with you. Because they know you'll never get angry with them. Because they know you can tolerate their nonsense. Because they know you are such a lovely chap to be with. They enjoy your presence. That's why the Lord wants us to be salt, to preserve people from getting hurt, getting destroyed. Sometimes people just simply destroy themselves by just simply being angry. Okay. You know, a lot of sickness are actually caused by ourselves. Okay. Just because we don't know how to control our temper, just because we don't know how to forgive others, okay, how to get along with people, and so on. Okay. So salt is very useful. It can be used as a condiment, as a disinfectant, a component of ceremony offerings, or as an exchange unit, money. Okay? Salt can be used as money in the old days. So metaphorically, salt actually signifies permanence, value, loyalty, durability, fidelity, usefulness, and purification. All these characteristics of salt. And all these actually are the characteristics of a true child of God. He's been purified from his sin. He ought to live a holy life. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness means setting apart for God use. You are saved not to live your own life, but to live a life that will honor God and glorify God. You have to be useful. That's why in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, we are saved by the grace of God. Then verse 10 tells us that we are actually workmen in Jesus Christ to do good works. Good works. Whatever good works you can do, do it for God. Don't do good works because you want to get praised. Because you want recognition from people. Oh, he's a good chap. He's so helpful, you know. Okay? If people say that when you're helpful, thank God. But don't go out of the way just to get recognition to be helpful. Just do it because you are a child of God. Just do it. Okay? Remember that, did I share the story with you about this young man who was rushing to meet someone and they accidentally knocked down a girl who was selling oranges or something? And they all laughed after that. But one young man went back and helped her to pick up the oranges and put them back in the basket. And at the end, the girl asked him, are you Jesus? He says, no, I'm not him, but I'm one of his followers. Helpful. Not to get recognized, but people can see that you're different. She saw the other people just walk by and laughed at her, thinking it was fun. But this young man, maybe stricken by God's conscience, or maybe he wanted to show that he is a child of God. Do we just go out of the way to do good works? Don't care what people will say, you know. We can do good works by maybe in a bus. When you see somebody gets on the bus who needs a seat more than you, you get up and offer the seat. Or maybe you see somebody carrying something along the road. Old person, old lady. You ask the person, can I help you? So on. Or maybe it's raining. You have an umbrella. Can you walk up to a person with an umbrella and say, can I shelter you? All these are kind acts that we can do and it's free, you know. Doesn't cost us anything. And it will bring glory and honor to God. Usefulness of salt. Salt is useful. It adds flavor to food, we know. If you cook food without adding salt, it's tasteless, right? Very bland. We don't enjoy that. It acts as a preservative. It actually melts coldness. You don't have snow here, right? Do you? And when the snow falls, you get the snow covering the roads and all that? I'm not very sure. But in the States, the roads are always covered with snow and ice in winter time. And so they send out trucks with salt to melt that snow and ice so that the vehicles can travel safely on the road. So snow actually melts coldness. And it also heals wounds. It acts as a disinfectant. So this is very appropriate description of the believer in his relationship to the world in which he lives. Nobody lives alone in this world. We always have connection with people. You go to school, You mix around with your colleagues, with your classmates, friends from different backgrounds, different races and so on. You go to work, you meet a lot of different people. You meet different culture and so on. And so we have to add the seasoning of faith, of hope, of encouragement into our conversation. So we need to say the right words at the right time. Colossians 4:6 tells us, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Your salt, your words must actually give comfort to those who hear you. Encouragement, hope, and so on. There are lots of people who have no hope in this world. They don't know what hope is. I just received a text message from my students. He says, now I am 64 years old. I'm looking back at my life. I'm trying to recall all the people that I come into contact with. I'm going to write a memoir of my life. He's trying to recall all those people that have been maybe good to him, encourage him, so that he can go on living. There are people in this world that need such encouragement. Don't give people discouragement. Don't tell people if life is so bad, why don't you end it? That's terrible. You're just telling him you better go and die, you know. No point living. Okay. That's not good advice, right? It hurts them. Just tell them life has meaning for you. Look to God. He's the one that can turn your life around. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. He can change you. You can become new. You can find meaning in your life. That's what they need to hear. That's what they need. Hope. So we have to be such a person. We have to tell them the truth. Sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes we tell them, you have to change, you know, your way is not good. It hurts them. Maybe they think they've been living the right way all along. But we have God's view, you see. We are wise, the Bible says. We can see life at different angles. Maybe the things he's doing or the way he's living, he's hurting himself, but he doesn't know it. So we have to tell him, you have to change your life. Maybe you can't, but God can. You can quote scripture, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can become new by coming to Jesus. That's encouraging him to put away his old habits, to seek something that is meaningful, so that his life will not be a wasted life. You know, the greatest tragedy is a wasted life. When you look back, maybe on your deathbed, and you say, how I've wasted my life. I've not done anything good, anything beneficial for my loved ones, for my friends, even for myself. I've been selfish. I've been living all for me. Everything for me. And in the end, what do I get? Nothing. Sad life. Miserable life. I've wasted my life. Don't waste your life. Live for God. Be a salt. Be useful for God. In your family, be useful to your brothers, to your sisters. Sometimes jealousy runs in the family, right? Especially if you have big families, especially when your parents show favoritism, like Jacob. Favored his son Joseph until his brothers could not stand it. The Bible tells us they couldn't even speak peacefully with one another. Every time they open their mouth, it's hatred. War, anger.
No peace in the home. Why?
Because maybe Jacob ruined that by showing favoritism to Joseph. Yes, Joseph was the son of his old age, and he loved Rachel very much. And Rachel gave him Joseph. But he shouldn't have shown it openly, right? That's human, I guess. We all have our favorite children. Sometimes when we display too much of it upon one child, the others may not like it. Although sometimes they may not say it out. They may resent it in their heart. But we have caused a problem as maybe parents. So we need to treat all our children fairly, equally, in the same way, in the same manner. Even you want to show favoritism, maybe you can whisper to the child, "I love you the most." You know? Who knows, the child may go around telling the other sibling, "Hey, daddy say he love me the most." Then you have problems. So be wise, I guess. So we need actually to use right words. Gracious words, good words. Now, too much salt will overpower the flavor of the food, right? Too saltish. You go to China, I don't know why Chinese people love salt. They add a lot of salt into their soup, into their food and everything. Sometimes you just simply cannot eat that food in China. I've been to China 3 times. Wow, I tell you, the food is very, very salty. Maybe I think they read the Bible, maybe, I don't know. Salt is good, so they add a lot of salt. But to us, I don't know, we can't take that much. Okay? So if you put too much salt, the food actually is not palatable anymore, right? It becomes too salty. So if you try and dominate people may not like to be with you. Don't go talking about yourself all the time. There was one guy who always talked about himself until his friend said, "I had enough of you already, you know. Every time you talk about yourself, nothing but yourself." Then the man said, "Okay, I don't talk about myself. I talk about you." Then he asked, "What do you think of me?" It's the same thing, right? What do you think of me? Don't talk about me, but you talk about me now. Still about him himself, so egoistic, you know. Some people are just too proud. Always want people to talk about them. Oh, he has achieved this, he's very successful, and so on and so forth. He loves to hear all these things, you know. It makes him feel good. But he doesn't know that it's destroying his friendship. Nobody wants to sit down and talk to him. I got a colleague in my school the last time when I was a teacher. And he always said this, "I'm telling you, I know." Whenever time you talk to him, he always tell you, "I'm telling you, I know, and you are wrong." That means he's always right. He knows all things. He's not God. Nobody wants to talk to him, you know. He's quite a lonely teacher in the school. The only person he can talk to are his students. Because the students can't run away from him, right? They're in his class. He tells them, "I know, I'm telling you." But when he talks to other teachers, the other teachers simply walk up and walk away. They can't stand him. Right? Too egoistic. Don't be egoistic. Don't empower or dominate talks or people. Treat them as your equal. That's why the Bible says, "What, esteem others better than yourself." Yeah. Don't look upon your own things. Look upon the things of others. Yeah. Don't always think you're good. There are others who are better. Give respect and honor to them. Okay? So we use salt as a preservative. Okay. Salt keeps food fresh over a long period of time. Before refrigerators were invented, they add salt to meat, vegetables, fish,
to keep them, to preserve them, so that they can last. Okay? Especially when they're traveling by ships. Last time the ship takes years, months to reach their destination. In order to have food, they have to use salt to keep them, to preserve them, although it may not be fresh anymore, but still edible. Okay. Sometimes when we grow old, our voice becomes weak, we are slow. People should actually remember that one day they too will grow old, right? Okay. That's why young people, when you deal with old folks, wait for them. Don't say, hurry, hurry, hurry. You know, can you walk faster and so on? They forget one day somebody will say the same thing to them. What goes around always comes around. It's like a boomerang. It always comes back to you. Okay? You want people to treat you nice, treat them nice. Even if they don't treat you nice, as a child of God, you have to treat them nice. Whether they will treat you nice in return, that's not your concern. Your concern is to honor God, to shine for God. Okay. So whatever you do, be a salt. Salt is good. Be the preservative. Okay. Our home, our workplace, our church, our friendships, all need salt. We can actually preserve people's life, actually. I'm not very sure about this. But I believe if you travel in a bus, I think the other passengers are safe because of you. Because God preserves you. God takes care of you. That's why people love being around Christians. They know that they are specially protected by God. And in a way, they feel that they too are protected by God, although they may not know God. Okay? So we actually are an influence actually in their life. Maybe they too want to become an influence. Maybe they too want to become a child of God. Okay? Businesses from being corrupted. If you are a Christian, you go into business. Don't ever go into a business with a non-Christian, because the non-Christian, his idea is actually to make money. And he tries all ways or means, crooked ways and means. He falsifies the accounts and everything, so he doesn't have to pay tax and all that. So if you're a child of God and you are a partner with him, what are you going to do? You know? You either have to tell him, you have to be honest, declare everything, or you have to pull out. That's it. You cannot go with him and say, hey, that's a good idea. We can earn more money that way, you know. Then, you don't shine for God anymore. Then, you as a salt, Jesus said, you have lost your saltiness. What is it useful? You are no more useful to me as a witness for me. Because you are not on my side, you are on his side, the devil's side. You cheat. You agreed with him to cheat. You know? You have no more principles. Okay? That shouldn't be the way. In school, you know, we want to help our weaker classmate. Don't let him your book and say, here, copy everything, you know. That's not helping him at all. He's not going to learn anything at all by just simply copying. He may get a tick, he may get a right, you know. He may get 10 upon 10, and the teacher may put good there, or put a star there. He feels happy. But he's actually cheating himself, right? He doesn't learn. What happens if the same sum comes out in the exam? He can't do it, because he cannot remember. He wasn't taught. If you teach him how to do it, you're helping him. Don't help him to cheat. Okay? Help him to improve. Okay? Even he doesn't understand, you have to be patient and explain to him. That's how you become a salt to him in your school. In your workplace, it's the same thing. The problem is that people know that you are Christian and that you are helpful. They always ask you to help them. And then they don't want to work, you know. They let you carry on the work for them. That's very unfair, right? I remember when I was a teacher in training, I went for a lecture and suddenly the lecturer said, "We have a surprise test today." And the whole class was so stunned. Okay. So there was a guy sit next to me. He doesn't know all the questions. So he asked me the answer. I wasn't really a good Christian then. I told him the answer. You know? And you know what? When the results came out, he scored higher marks than me, you know. I say, that's not fair, right? All the answers he got were from me, you know. I got 8, he got 9, you know. I say, how come? I gave him all the answers and he got better marks than me. So in my heart I say, next time I better don't tell him the answers, you know. Or maybe I tell him half the answers so that I can score higher marks than him. But it never happened again because the lecturer never gave us another surprise test. Life, that's life. Sometimes people get ahead of you because you help them. Okay. But you should be happy for them if you are a child of God. Yeah. You should go out and say congratulations, you know. You have been promoted. If he's kind-hearted and thankful enough, he'll say, it's all due to you. You helped me. Credit should go to you. Okay. But sometimes people say, see, I can do it. I made it on my own. You know. People tend to be boastful sometimes. They forget you. But don't take it to heart. God knows. He will reward you one day, you know. Okay. Sometimes you think, you know, like the Chinese say, good heart never get rewarded, right? 好心没有好报, you know. Sometimes you have a good heart, you don't get rewarded for doing things good to people, you know. But as a child of God, you shouldn't think of all these things. These are worldly things. These things will disappear one day. Look for eternal things that last. That's what the Lord tells us. Eternal things that cannot be seen now, but will be seen when we face the Lord. Okay. So do good. Be a salt. Be a preserver. Be an enhancer. Okay. Be gracious. Be kind. Remember, Jesus says what? Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, what is it good for? It is useless. Not fit for the land, not fit for the dunghill, to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. People just step on it. So if you have wasted your life as a child of God, people will not look to you for testimony. For an example of being a child of God, for being good and so on, you are useless. You are worthless to God. Okay? Don't be a salt that has lost its saltiness. Be a salt always. Always have this flavor in you that people love you and love to be with you because they can get a lot of things from you. You know, beneficial things. And Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You have heard the word of God. It's your choice now to whether you want to live for God. It may not be a bed of roses. You may not get kindness from people when you are kind to them. Maybe the reverse will be true. People will say, why are you so good to me? Huh? You want to be rewarded, is it? There are sometimes people who are very sarcastic. When you help them, they just turn around. They don't appreciate our help. But you just go on helping them, and one day they will really see that you're helping them because out of a good heart, not because of anything else. You know, that's why the Lord says, when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is giving. When you pray, go to the room, close the door and pray to your Father. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. People can see. God give eyes to people to see your good works. So be a salt for God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our hearts are thankful to Thee for Thy great love for us, in saving us while we are yet sinners, by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins on the cross at Calvary. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you forsook heaven. You came down to this sinful, cursed world to live a perfect life and to show us that God is good. And you gave your life for us that we may become your children by adoption. So, Lord, we pray for those in our midst who have yet to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that Thou speak to their hearts, that they may open their hearts and invite the Lord Jesus into their life, that they may experience the forgiveness of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that they can be sought for Thee. Bless Your word to our hearts. Thank You, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for your attention.